Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
He wants you to live it. He wants you to believe it. He wants you to be in a place to realize, as a soldier, you can make a difference.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. In our second and final message from the book of Jude, Pastor Herron shares with us a message entitled, Fighting to Make a Difference.
Jude, who basically gave us a call, this is what I'm calling you to and recognizing this is important. He makes the statement in verse 22 and 23. He says, and he mentions these three groups of individuals. To put it in this phrase, but he says verse 22 and 23, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear. And I think a better rendering when he says pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Another way to say that is he identifies, be merciful to those who are doubt, snatch others from the fire and save them, and then to others you show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. What is he talking about there? What he's talking about, Jude's saying, listen, you better remember those that do need help. And he puts them into these three categories. First of all, he says, there are those that are sincere doubters and show compassion to those who are doubting believers. They're converted. They're not grounded as infants. And he says, be merciful to those, because false teachers prey on disgruntled church members. They're complainers, they're murmurers, and I don't think that, you know, that church, and they do this, they do that. And slowly what happens is you end up having individuals that come along and they get pulled away from what they really know to be truth. And that's one of the best ways to draw people away, as false teachers do. They magnify all that they have in Christ. They share His love for them in practical ways, but they don't tell you all the rest of the story. And the reality is, Jude is saying, listen, you better end up showing compassion on them. We have the term, on some have compassion, making a difference. One of the translations, and I think it's a good way to say it, or make a distinction. Now, is the whole theme of making a difference throughout Scripture? Absolutely. But Jude is saying, listen, show compassion to those that are doubting believers. Then he says, here's a second category, and that's the person, he says, snatch others from the fire and save them. And others, he says, by fear. Or another way to say that is, we should caringly convince people that are wandering away. Their garments, it says they're burnt. Informing the readers about the first class of people, the doubters, Jude acquaints them with another group. These people are scorched by the fire of sin. Jude's borrowed the imagery of the Old Testament. God says to Israel, as he said in Amos 4, you're like a burning stick snatched from the fire. He said, hey, here's a group that they're kind of getting wandering away. Hey, listen, hang on to them. Go after them with mercy. There's another group. And be fearful to realize those are people that are either further away from what God really wants in their life. These are people that you've got to caringly convince. Listen, you're being pulled away, just as it was, as he illustrates earlier with Sodom and Gomorrah, that Lot had to literally be pulled out from Sodom and Gomorrah. And there are people that at one time were secure and settled in what God had for the life, and slowly they start drifting away. And Jude's saying, listen, for some of them, you get them right away and you show compassion. You can make a difference in their life. And the reality is, there is differences going on in their life. You can pull them away. But that second group is closer to the edge. You need to be cautious about that, but you carefully move forward to them. And then he says this third group, to others show mercy mixed with fear. And that third group is carefully, you want to be able to help them because they're dangerous. They're declared apostates and they still deserve to be reached, but they're people that have willfully chosen to say, this is what I believe, and everything you say is not right to a Christian. I don't believe anything you say. And Jude is still saying, listen, you still, with caution, engage them, but be careful about that, because they are people that, as he says in verse 23, even the garment is spotted by the flesh. And it's kind of a gross image of what Jude is saying, even as the garments that were used by the Old Testament prophets that were being soiled he's saying, so it is, you better be very cautious. And just like anthrax on a drop that'll affect and kill you, he's saying, that's what you have with that. There are people that are way away from what God wanted. They at once time believed something that was to be right, and they have nothing to do with it anymore. And in all of those cases, Jude is saying, listen, you have compassion, you have mercy, you realize that it is not as the gospel, it is for people of all the world. I'm so thankful for that. I got me curious about the idea of getting so close to, in essence, a fire, snatching from fire. My mind went to some volcano. I wonder if somebody had ever fallen into a volcano. I got thinking, where did that go? Has that ever happened? I Googled it. That I know of, no one fell into a burning volcano. But evidently, in April of 08, there was three guys, a guy named Jemp and another guy, his son, who was a Marine, and then a third friend that were snowmobiling up in Mount St. Helens. They have done it for many years. Mount St. Helens was a volcano that blew off in this huge crater, 2,000 feet deep, and they were snowmobiling up in the wintertime, and they got to the edge of this volcano. I thought, man, let's look over the volcano. And sure enough, that's exactly what they did. And they'd evidently done it before without any problem. And it ended up going on to the news of this man that falls into a volcano. As it says in here, they took their snowmobiles up to the crater's rim where they stopped to take in the view from this cornice or this overhanging shelf of snow. It broke loose and John drops about 200 feet and ended up dropping another 1,500 feet to the bottom of this crater. And amazingly, he survives. Now, obviously, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize if I want to stay away from the bottom of the crater, don't go to the edge of the crater. Stay back here and go, that's a cool crater, awesome. And drive away. You don't have to feel propelled. Let's go this way. They crawled out on all fours. They'd done it before, you know. He's 52 years old. 52 people, you know, they do stuff like that. You shouldn't do things like that. Now, you understand that. Here's what Jude is saying. Listen, if you're going to get close to something that's not good for you spiritually, you're going to end up getting burnt. There's an element of trust to God through your authority, as long as it's based on Scripture. This is what Jude is saying. And when you can understand all of that, if you just stop there, this would be good enough. But I so appreciate, as Jude closed the book, as I close the sermon, this is what he also said, not only to remember those that need help, but you also need to remember our God, our great God. And this doxology is one of two or three in the New Testament. Romans 16 has a powerful doxology as well. But this particular doxology is as good of a closing prayer. And actually, in the New Testament early church, it was a song. Many commentators would suggest it was a song that they sung. It was sung between two individuals back and forth. I'd like for someone to write a song about it. It would be a powerful text. Look what he says in verse 24 and 5. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his exceeding joy. The only wise God and our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. I read this. I've quoted it. I've prayed it. It's such a powerful, powerful doxology. Fact is, there's a couple of men that wrote some good statements about this. One of those is by Hebert. He's got a good little commentary on Jude. He says, Jude's closing doxology is rightly acclaimed as one of the grandest in all the New Testament. It's the fitting capstone of the epistle, eloquently reminding his troubled readers that their security lies in the sovereign power of God. One other commentator made this particular statement. Bo Renke said, it lifts the thoughts from earthly conflicts for which the author has been compelled to busy himself up to the heavenly realms where God is enthroned amidst eternal might and honor. And Jude here so wisely says, I'd hate to deal with this. I'd rather deal with salvation. I want to talk about salvation by grace through faith alone. That's what we want to talk about. That's what we talk about. If you're here today and you have no knowledge of who Christ is, or you have a fuzzy idea because you've heard people and they've tried to witness to you, very simply what Jude was saying is all the Scriptures teach, very simply, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He was never about religion. He was always about a relationship, a personal relationship with you. And the Bible's so very clear when he says, listen, you've got to accept the fact the Bible says you're a sinner. And you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came into the world to save sinners. And when you call upon the name of the Lord, it's as simple as A, B, C. When you say, you know what, I realize I'm a sinner and I am in a place to repent from my sin. I don't want my way. I want God's way. I call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, would you come into my life? Would you save me? That's the simple gospel. I'm so thankful for that. But you've got to realize that that is one item. But Jude says, listen, I've got to deal with these things. I don't want to deal with them, but I got to deal with them. That's somewhat I feel like the last couple of weeks. But I'm saying it because as a shepherd, I want to feed you and I want to fight off enemies because I don't want you to get sucked away and pulled away. And I certainly don't want you in some burning volcano. I want you in a place to realize that it's all about God. Fact is, he uses these terms to glory, majesty, dominion, power, dealing with who God is and his all is glory, the majesty, his greatness, his magnificence, the dominion, the sovereign rule over all things. And on top of it all, he says, that power, that authority, the right to use power, he controls all of it. Jude's reminding his readers of the greatness of Jesus Christ, and if only they could catch that, they would never be led astray by false teachers. Like the young man who falls in love and marries and is no longer interested in his old girlfriend, so the believer who keeps himself in the love of God, caught up in the glories of the Savior, will never want to turn to Satan's substitutes. The Great Wall of China, awesome, 1,500 miles long, anywhere between 20 feet to 40 feet wide and more. And out of the history of China, when the wall was there, it had never been breached other than three times. And all three times, the wall was breached when the guards were bribed. Now, do you not think that enemies of the cross are going to try and bribe you through doubt, through question? I wonder. This is not about some loyalty to some one local church or us or me. You have heard us say so often, you go to God's Word, you can study it, you read it every day. The difficulty is Satan, who's the master counterfeiter, will not only take cults, an organized group, and teach wrong doctrine, but say it's something that's right. But there are people even within the church, Matthew 13, that are tares that are planted within the wheat. You say, man, that's a scary thing to think that even within a church there are people that are saying something and doing something totally different. Absolutely. Absolutely. But Jude is taking all of that and saying, listen, you've got to understand God is in charge. He's in control. He's sovereign. He'll work it all out. And you can have great security to know, as the Chinese people had a wall surrounding them that give them security. But ultimately, the focus was not on the wall. It was on the emperor. It was on the one that they wanted to give their attention to. And in a more eternal, biblical way, that's what God's saying. I love you. I care about you. I gave it so much. I gave my own son to you. It's worth honor. He is worth the worship and praise. This is what he wants for your life. And he wants you to live it. He wants you to believe it. He wants you to be in a place to realize as a soul, soldier, you can make a difference. You need to contend for the faith because he's the Savior of the world.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us at this same time on Monday for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.